What a awesome blessing it is to be part of you guys. There's my best, Janine. Wow, praise God for fellowship, eh? For knowing Him. Wow, what a privilege. If I haven't met you before, my name is Paul. Thanks for the introduction, Luke. I've been part of this congregation now about 12 years since Janine and I were married. I moved across here from Joshua in Durbanville. And here we find ourselves, hey? The kingdom of God just expanding and moving and God doing what He does. Such a privilege to be part of it and to be running alongside you guys. I don't know about you guys, but I often get stuck in the Bible. And usually it's a portion of Scripture that I just can't seem to get beyond. And since our time of fasting and praying, for me it's been this book of Ephesians. And I've just kind of sat there and let God do a work in my heart and speak to me and shape me and mold me and not rush what He wants to do. And you know, I remember I was in my early 20s, I made a commitment to follow Jesus. And I was baptized in water. I remember the day clearly. And I asked the Lord to fill me with His Holy Spirit, and He did. And you know what? One of the craziest things that happened to me, I'd grown up in a religious home. We'd gone to church. I knew a lot about the Bible. But when the Holy Spirit came to live in my heart, the Scripture came alive to me. And it was like nothing I'd ever experienced before. It was amazing. And I want to encourage you this morning, if you have a Bible, if it's a paper Bible or an app on your phone, read it. Read it, read it, read it, read it, read it. Don't stop reading the Bible. And I'm trusting this morning that the Holy Spirit is going to help us as we read a portion of Scripture. And I'm trusting that He's going to make this word come alive to each one of us in our hearts. A bit of a disclaimer. Back in the day in Durbanville, we used to do this thing called Preacher Club, where we would get together once a month and we would have a topic and we would prep and we would preach to each other and then we would give a good critique. This morning, I'm probably going to break all of those rules. One rule I didn't break is I spat my gum out earlier. No preaching with gum was one of our rules. So I'm not even sure whether this morning is going to be preaching or teaching or what it is. I'm just trusting that it's going to be a revelation to us in our hearts, a word that's going to speak to us. So we're going to read from the book of Ephesians. We're going to start in chapter 1, and we're going to read from verse 1 through to 14. I got given this Bible shortly after I got saved by a friend of mine, Eugene. It's a New King James Version. It might be different to yours, but this is the Bible that I'm used to reading for the past 20-odd years. So follow with me. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, by which He made us accepted in the Beloved. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace, which He made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and things which are on earth, in Him. In Him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him, who works all things according to the counsel of His will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, to the praise of his glory. Now, this book of Ephesians, it has a bit of a context. It's a letter. It was written by Paul the Apostle in about AD 60. And it's written to this church that meets in Ephesus. It's a town in the present-day region of Turkey, on the Aegean coast, which is kind of like a little bit of a fingertip of the Mediterranean. And Paul, the apostle, was instrumental in planting and establishing this church. At one point, he was there for 2 years teaching and preaching the gospel. And thereafter, he kind of came and went from this church. And, you know, Ephesus, it had challenges, like Cape Town has challenges. There were principalities and powers that be. And we see in the book of Acts that there was a great upset in this city as people came to Christ and they stopped following idols. The Christians of the town of Ephesus really did turn it upside down. And we're going to pick up in verse 1 where Paul says, "An apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God." By the will of God, that's quite a bold statement to make. Did you know this morning that God has a will for your life? For Paul, it was to be an apostle. It's such a precious thing to be found in the will of God, to be found doing what he's called you to do. You know, even Apostle Paul, he was putting people to death for this Christian faith at one point. He was supervising the stoning of Stephen. Even at that point in time, God's eye was on Paul. And Paul may not have known it at the time. He maybe thought that he was walking in the will of God. But a little while later, we see Paul on the road. And he gets struck by a bolt of lightning. He falls off his horse and he encounters Jesus face to face. He sees Jesus, the scripture says. And that's while he was still, the scripture says, breathing threats of murder against the disciples. Like, he was a wild man. He's a wild man. But he encounters Jesus. And I want to say to you this morning that if you've met God and if you've encountered God, the same is true for your life. God has a will for your life. And this morning you may or may not know him. But deep in God's heart is a will and a hope and a desire for your life. He has a will for you. And I want to urge you this morning that you would seek God for that will for your life. Seek him with all your heart. I remember as a young Christian seeking God's will for my life. And I was so inspired by the Bible. I was just so inspired reading about Paul and about Peter and the leaders that I met in the church around me. And again and again, God would come and confirm to me and affirm to me what his will for my life was and still is. And I felt this great call and this great pull to make disciples of all men. And this morning, church, my heart burns for you that you would know his will for you is to make disciples of all men and all women. I pray that you wouldn't walk blindly in your faith, but that you would have a vision and that you would see what God's vision is for you and your life, that he would give you eyes to see. Verse 1 continues, it says, "To the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus." It so strikes me that Paul writes to this church ages ago. And it strikes me that those same words that he wrote back then, so long ago, how is it that they are able to grip our hearts even here now this morning in the same way? Because this word that we read, it is living and it is alive and it is sharp. And you know, the book of Ephesians, it's an eternal book. It's written by an eternal God. And it's written to the eternity that exists in each one of our hearts. And it's just as true here and now as it was back in the day, that this morning God would say to the saints in City Bowl, to those who are found faithful in Christ Jesus in City Bowl, to you, God loves your faith and he loves your faithfulness. That faithfulness is found in Christ. And I feel the encouragement to us this morning as a church, God says, stay faithful to him. Don't be distracted. Don't find faith in other things. Be found faithful in Christ. Verse 2 goes on to say, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Do we know the grace of God this morning? It's his grace. It's extended towards you and I. The grace of God. You know, grace is simply just the unmerited favor of God. It's undeserved. It's towards you. It's towards me. It's not because of who you are or anything you do or anything that you've done. No, it's not. Grace is his favor. Like if you've ever felt what it's like to be the favorite of somebody, experiencing the favor of God, it's him choosing you to show his love to you just because. Just because. Paul proclaims grace to the saints. And I believe that today God proclaims his grace towards you as an individual. In chapter 2, verses 4 to 7, it describes God's grace in this way. I'm going to read it quickly here. It says, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. Verse 8 is actually one of my favorite verses in the Bibles. It says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Incredible, hey? God's grace. Man, I'm so thankful for your grace, God. Verse 2 goes on to say, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, there's a lot of unrest in this world. I'm sure you can agree with me. And even in Paul's day, there was a lot of unrest. Paul was stoning people. He in turn got stoned for preaching the gospel. I'm wondering when last one of us was stoned for preaching the gospel, or at least oppressed or belittled for preaching the gospel. You know, we may experience peace in this life for a time, like in the natural. It kind of comes and goes. It ebbs and flows. And you see this, you watch CNN or you watch BBC or watch any of the news networks last week. There's a lot of chaos out there. You know why? Because there's a struggle between God's kingdom, his Holy Spirit. They're up against the kingdom of darkness and the principalities and the powers of this age. The Bible says, there's a great clash, yet God offers us his peace. It's such a gift to us as believers, his peace. It's a peace that surpasses all understanding. It's like you cannot comprehend it with your mind. You can't, it's not a thought that you can understand in a sense. It's peace that goes beyond all rationale. And I pray that each one of us, that we would experience this peace in our mind and our souls, to know his peace. The Bible says that a fruit of the Spirit is peace. When you have the Holy Spirit, you have access to peace. Jesus promised us his peace. The peace that Jesus experienced, we're able to experience. We can have peace, and we can have peace with God. In chapter 2, verse 14 through to 18, we're going to read it quickly. We read about Christ being our peace. It says in the scripture, "For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who were afar off and to those who were near. For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father." Amazing, the work of Jesus. Christ is our peace. Like, we need him. There's only one peacemaker and there's only one peacekeeper, and that's Jesus. Jesus made peace with us, each one of us here in this room, on the cross. He endured the cross for the hope that was set before him. And I believe that hope that was set before him was peace between a holy God and sinful people like us. I praise God this morning for his peace. Because of Jesus, God gives us peace. It's something that we receive. It's the most incredible thing about the gospel, is this peace with God. The Bible speaks there about enmity. What that means in layman's terms is hostility. There was a hostility between us and God, and between God and us. Like, if you thought of like being hostile towards someone, like picking a fight. In verse 3, it goes on to say, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." And my question to us this morning, our lives, how do we bless God? We bless God by hearing his voice, that he speaks to us. Even now when we were praying together, there's this revelation that God hears us as we pray. And when we hear him, we respond in faith. And there's a certain posture that God loves. It's when we posture ourselves to love him and to follow him and to love others. And when we do this, he blesses us in return with every spiritual blessing. We're able to live in peace with God. And you know, when we're saved, something that happens, which is remarkable, is that we're instantly made right with God. It's like instant coffee. I don't drink instant coffee, but I know what it's about. Like, you just pour the water in, and boom, you got a drink. There's no prep, there's no going to buy the beans, there's no grinding, there's no getting the water temperature right, there's no making sure your filter's wet. It's like, it happens like this, and you get the taste. When we're saved, we experience God's salvation. And whereas before we were enemies, because of our sin, we were at war with God. But now all of God's eternal heavenly blessings become ours. Can you imagine a home, God's home, and through Jesus, we're allowed to enter? It's like he's the key to entering in. He's the password, eh, Cameron? He's the usher that ushers us into God's house. And in God's house, we stand forgiven. And we know him. And we're able to have relationship with the Father. What a beautiful thing. One of the spiritual blessings that we're able to access is hope. Chapter 2, verse 12 says that we had no hope and being without God in the world. How quickly we can become accustomed to knowing God. But there was a time when each one of us had no hope, like none, like zero, none, nothing, no hope, absolutely no hope. We had no hope of being right with God. The gap was far too wide to bridge. No matter how we tried to build a bridge towards God, I can tell you that the bridge that we tried to build would always fail. You know, before I met Christ, I thought there were many ways to be holy and many ways to be righteous. You know, Rastafarians talk about righteousness. I thought there were many ways to be good. You know, what is good? What is the measure of being good? I thought I knew what the measure of good was. I thought the yardstick was okay with me. You know, I would wake up and do morning stretches and salute the sun. You know, I would even read Proverbs, because in my heart there was something of wanting to be wise. Like I wanted to be this wise guy, you know. You know, I would smoke narcotics to experience out-of-body, to have an out-of-body experience. Because in my mind that would mean I was closer with God, because God can't be with me, so I need to somehow ascend to God. I tell you, I did try my best. I really did try my best. The problem with all of those things, though, is that they are so temporary. They come and go. Like you experience them and then, boom, it's gone again. But God, He's so merciful and He's so gracious. And He's so kind. When He gave me His peace, it didn't go away. It didn't disappear. It wasn't fleeting. It didn't come and go. It's with me now. And I know that it will be with me tomorrow, just the same as it was with me yesterday. God doesn't take His peace back. In verse 4, the scripture says that He chose us before the foundation of the world. Can you imagine that? God having the foresight just for us here, let alone the rest of humanity that has come and gone before us, that He had the foresight that you and I would exist, and that His will is that we would have relationship with Him, and that in ages past, even before anything existed, like you were on His mind, I was on His mind, your destiny was in God's heart already back then. And He was already planning ways for you to get to know Him. And you know what? He makes you holy. He makes you completely clean. He makes you completely spotless. White as snow. The scripture speaks about being blameless before Him. Verse 5 says that part of what His will was and what His will still is that each one of us would be adopted as sons and daughters to become children of God. The Bible says that this was done according to the good pleasure of His will. God the Father is so pleased with Jesus. He's pleased with Jesus because Jesus has done the work on the cross. He's pleased with Jesus because Jesus did all the hard work on our behalf of carrying the burden and the weight of our sin, all of our sins on the cross. You know, it was Jesus' will. It was very difficult, but Jesus chose to go to the cross. He chose to do it. He chose to die for our sins. And this pleased God. Verse 6 speaks of the glory of His grace. And if we praise God for anything this morning, let us praise God for His grace. It's by grace that we are accepted. It's by grace that we are loved. It's by grace that we are saved. It's by grace that we are adopted into His family. Verse 7 says that in Him, in Jesus, we have redemption. Through His blood. You know, back in the old covenant, you could experience a measure of peace with God. You could experience a measure of having your sins forgiven. But you would have to pay. You would have to pay for your sins. You would have to bring an animal to the priests, and they would have to sacrifice it for you. To atone for your sins. To make right for your sins. so that you could show God that you were sorry for what you'd done. But the problem with this is the Bible says in Hebrews that you've got to do it again and 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 again. Because God is never actually satisfied with the blood of bulls and goats. God is only satisfied by the shedding of Jesus' blood on the cross. To God, the Father, that is enough. Jesus' blood is sufficient. It's paid for our sins in full. And through his blood, we experience forgiveness of our sins. And this is because of God's rich, rich, rich grace towards us. Verse 8 says that God made this rich grace abound towards us. That word abound is such a great word. It conjures up in my heart this thing of abundance. Like if you think you had enough grace, God says he still has more grace for you. It's good for us to meditate on this grace and on this grace that abounds towards us. Verse 9 says that he made known to us this mystery of his grace and his salvation. That in times past it was something that was like a little bit obscured. It wasn't fully known to people. But God revealed his plan through Christ. And this mystery, God's will, was to send Christ. It was God's good pleasure to send Christ so that we could see him in the flesh and come to know him. And the whole purpose of the Trinity was to send Christ in the flesh, in a body like yours and mine, so that we could know him. Christ identified it with us, and we are able to identify with him. In verse 10, the Bible says that at the very right time, that at the right time, just the right time, God has a time in his heart for everything. That at just the right time, God chose for the fullness of himself to be revealed and to be manifested and made known through Christ. Jesus, fully man, fully God. At just the right time, God revealed himself fully to mankind. And we're able to know who Jesus is. And I want to say this morning that if you want to know God, if you don't yet know God, if you want to know God, you can look to Jesus. He was a man, he lived, and he died. And by a miracle of the Spirit of God, he rose again. And so we can be drawn into God's family and into God's household by looking at Jesus. Verse 11 speaks about inheritance. And this inheritance is accessed through Christ. It's accessed by being in him. And we've received an inheritance, church, each one of us. It's something that's been given to us. It's not something that we've worked for. The end of Jesus' life on earth, he gave us his life. And we can now have his life. His life is our inheritance. His place is our place, and our place is his place. The scripture speaks about being seated in heavenly places. It's like somehow we are there where Jesus is. What he has and has always had is now ours too. Incredible, eh? Not because of hard work on our part or, you know, us working our whole lives hard to please God. It's a reward given by God to us by his grace. With all of his kingdom and his blessings. Verse 12 says that we receive this inheritance by trusting in him. Jesus said it so simply. He said, believe in me and believe in the one who sent me. When you've seen me, you've seen the Father, and you'll know him. In verse 13, it says this, so beautiful. It is in him you have trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of salvation, in whom you have believed, now sealed by the Holy Spirit. My friends, this morning, if you are still in doubt about being saved, about your own salvation, I would ask you, have you received the Holy Spirit? Because the Holy Spirit is the guarantee. It's the seal. Verse 14 says, the Spirit in us is our guarantee. The Holy Spirit guarantees us receiving this inheritance. You cannot receive this inheritance by working harder or doing more. The scripture speaks about not by works, lest anyone could boast. Our inheritance is given to us freely, and our inheritance is given to us by his wonderful grace. And the Holy Spirit assures us of this salvation. Praise the Lord. Shall we pray?